This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the stories that lead today's show are: a mega net neutrality battle is coming. I'm going to talk about some news about some new iPhones already. We're going to talk about League of Legends and Netflix customers being defended in a Time Warner Cable lawsuit in New York City. We're going to talk about E3 for those of you that are gamers and 15,000 tickets. Yes, you're going to want to be prepped for this one if you're a gamer and you're interested about E3. We're going to talk about a Muni broadband battle that actually it looks like maybe we won one. Plus, all the news of the day. I want to welcome you to episode 1177 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, February 9th. The show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or simply paypal.me/geeknews. Of course, you can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners out there. Thanks for being here. Thanks for checking us out for the very, very first time. And if you're a longtime listener or part of the Ohana, which means family in Hawaiian, I want to welcome you to the show. But for those of you that are brand new, take some time and get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out the website when you're over there. Lots of great articles being put up by my writing team. Plus, we want you to subscribe to the show as well. It's real easy to do via iTunes, Android, email, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, via RSS. And sadly, there's something missing from this row, and I can't talk about it yet, but maybe another icon coming soon. We'll see, but we can't talk about it. But anyway, lots of ways to subscribe to the show right now, and we want you to stay connected. Don't forget, if you are in a situation when you go to an office and you cannot download the show and you just need to get a GNC fix, you can always come over and click on the Geek News Central Radio button. And the last three episodes are always in a looped play. You'll be able to listen to those no matter where you're at. Most IT guys don't block live streams. So if you can't download the show or whatever it may be, if you're overseas, maybe behind a military firewall or something like that, definitely use Geek News Central Radio icon to be able to listen to the show. That's one way you can catch it if you kind of got some connectivity problems. And that doesn't happen often, but we have enough of you using that player for me to warrant keep paying the $39.95 it costs a month to have it up there. But anyone, to give a warm welcome to everyone and thank the new listeners for checking the show out for the very first time. And of course, subscribe to the newsletter. That way you'll get all the show notes delivered directly to your inbox. And you'll find the show. You'll find that link on the website. If you have a comment on today's show, email me here, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter, @geeknews. You can join our Slack channel by just dropping me an email, or you can follow on Google Plus or on Facebook just by searching for my name, Todd Cochran. You can watch this show on the Roku, via the Tech Podcast channel, on the Apple TV. You can listen on Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest episode of this show's name. You can listen on Stitcher, watch review on Blueberry.com, or you can tell Google Play to play the podcast and then this show's name. So definitely check that out for different ways to catch up with the show. Hey, our partner shows include No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, The Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain, and the Pro Gear site with the GNC team. You'll notice that I have left off Health Tech Weekly. I had a discussion with Jamie Davis, and as you notice, Jamie had not been putting any content up in a while, and he was creating a lot of content on a lot of different channels, and he's just kind of got to the point where he was a little bit overwhelmed, and he hasn't been creating doing anything with the show for a while. So he's putting that show on hiatus or officially pod fading it or retiring it, whatever it may be. And I tell you, I want to thank Jamie for all the years of, you know, working with us at CES and all the great things that he did. Hate to see Jamie retire the show, but that happens sometimes in the podcasting space. but wherein that happens, we have an opportunity. So I'll talk about that here in just a few minutes and on the opportunity. By the way, those of you watching the show, can you actually see what that little board says back there? I think it's so bright you can't. It actually says Pound GNC Live. And what I bought, I thought it would be real slick. It is real slick. It's basically like one of those boards you'd see outside of a business, but it's a miniaturized size, and it's just too bright. It looks cool when you look at it, but on the camera, it gets washed out. So I'm going to try to figure out if I can take some light bulbs out of it or something, dim it down about half, and it would be perfect for the studio. But, you know, all good intentions. And you just never know what will happen. But anyway, let me just talk just a little bit here, of course, about our sponsor, GoDaddy.com. We want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor of the show. And bringing great deals. So those deals continue for all of you. And we definitely want you to check them out by going over to the GoDaddy webpage at geekingcentral.com/GoDaddy and grabbing a deal. 30% off new product purchases, 99cent.coms. You can get $1 a month economy hosting for the first year with a free domain. You can get $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain as well. And of course, you're a business owner, you get a 1 month free of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. So all those are available. And we want to thank again GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at the show, and want you to use those codes when you get a chance and share them with your friends, family members, people that you know. Tweet the page link. Link to it in Facebook. The key is to send people back to this page, all right? This is where we want you to come. GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You'll know that it will forward to another URL, but the short code is GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. We want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here of the show. So as I said, whereas Jamie has retired his Health Tech Weekly show, this opens up the door for potentially a new show to join the banner at Geek News Central. And if you're a current podcaster and you have a show and you want to bring it to the lineup and it's techie related, drop me an email. We definitely want to talk to you about that. And as we're starting to move into a new season here, I've got some other projects going on. I'm going to have several podcasting type projects that I want to work with other people with. The Podcast Legends show has been a real challenge for me to get interviews done just because of everything going on. But, you know, the new media show continues to be a mainstay every Saturday as well. So that's kind of a podcast-related show as well. But, again, I'm looking for a show more tech-related, gaming maybe. Drop me a line if you're interested in being that host. But don't forget, of course, No Better Than Average, the Gadget Professor, ProGear.Guru site. And there should be some new articles up there. Just fed some for the team over the last day or so. That should be put up on the website. Be honest with you, it's been a whirlwind week, and it seems like it. We're already into February, but I'm like, still, my brain is in January. in all honesty, and a lot of it has to do with getting taxes ready and all that stuff. Drives me insane. So I'm hoping this coming weekend I can get it knocked out, get the spreadsheets turned into the accountant. So I really made a decision last year that I would employ someone to do the day-to-day books. You know, my accountant takes care of the payroll, takes care of everything that goes along with paying workman's comp and my insurance and all that stuff. Yes, I have to have workman's comp for sitting at this desk, here in Hawaii at least. But I talked about hiring someone to do the rest of the books the rest of the year and just, you know, fax them the statements or email them the statements. I guess people don't fax anymore. But I think that'll help. It just, to me, it just becomes drudgery work. And that's part of being a small business owner is dealing with the paperwork and making sure that you're paying Uncle Sam what he needs to be paid. And, you know, you don't want to letter from the IRS. And it, to me, it's just a unneeded headache. So probably be turning that over to some folks. And my CPA, if I turn it over, everything over to them, it gets kind of crazy expensive. It's already nuts enough to do the regular taxes. And I think I pay them like almost $3,000 a year to do the, the full stack of personal and business. So, I don't need to add an additional $2,000 or $3,000 to their bill for someone just to do a data entry into QuickBooks. But anyway, that just sucks. And it's part of my being stressed out. And I have been pretty stressed out the past couple of days. I don't know why. No reason to be, but I just am. Plus, I think what's adding to it is this. And I want to, I got to try to keep the show child safe, but it's the news. The news, I've had to like put myself on restriction from watching the news. And people just can't calm down. And Facebook, I think, I posted something on Facebook the other day. What exactly did I say? And let me scroll up. I can actually find it. I said, caution. Spending more than 10 minutes on Facebook may be hazardous to your health. And I think I was doing an introspection. Is that the right word to use? It just makes me stressed out to go on Facebook these days. If we need to take like a 2-week political break. It's crazy. So, I'm just trying not to get on, not getting into it, not, making comments and trying to keep my attitude in check. It sucks. It really, really does. And, everyone has such strong opinions, and it's a crazy time. All right. We dodged a bullet here, but there was, huge hack of WordPress. I talked about it on the show that continues. Hundreds of thousands of WordPress sites have been getting hacked because they didn't update their core version of WordPress. It is, it's bad. It's really, really bad. And I think the total that I saw in a report today was something like 800,000 sites have been defaced. And that's primarily what's happening is defacing of sites. But if you don't have a good backup, it's hard to clean that up and recover, and it's not good. So, if you're running if you're on GoDaddy and you have a managed WordPress site, they update the site for you automatically. If you're doing your own and you're kind of rolling your own, you just need to pay attention to that those updates are being applied on a timely basis, because this last bug was probably the biggest one that they have ever had. And we've been dealing with the aftermath a little bit of it this week as people call us and they want some help, and really it's not our job to help them clean up their hacking issue, but sometimes you just try to help a fellow out because it's just the way it is. But anyway, be aware. Okay. All right, let's see here. Let me make sure that I'm good. All right. We're having a little technical difficulty tonight, and it wasn't in the TriCaster. It was actually on the Mac, and the Blackmagic Design H.264 recorder, what records the video of this show, I had this green line through it. It was acting weird, and I don't know if it was a combination of the TriCaster and the... But I'm hoping at the end of the show I've got a good video recording. I've got a master recording over there, but that thing's like 40 gigs, and I don't want to have to deal with that. So we'll see. But anyway, we'll get into the content here, and I've got a full stack for you. I hope everyone's doing good. I'm not hearing from you guys very much. Not getting a lot of love on the email front. So I thought the last show, at a minimum, would have really tripped a nerve. Crickets from the last show. I don't know, if maybe you just didn't want to have the energy to reply. I don't know. A few people that, talked to me said a few things to me. But as far as email goes, yeah, it was pretty quiet. So keep me informed what you're liking, what you're hating about the show. All right. Okay, so let's go ahead and talk about net neutrality. Just like everything else in space right now, everyone is kind of hyping up what will happen. Mashable led off with a headline that says, "The six terrible ways your life will change when net neutrality dies." Another thing that they said, another headline from tech.co, "You're really going to miss net neutrality." And let me just read through the six things that Mashable says. Now, first things first, we have to remember, no matter what happens, and believe me, I think there's going to be a big battle. I don't think all of it's going to be positive. I think we're going to have a lot to talk about on the show about net neutrality with the change of command, the FCC, and everything else. Like, you know, we talked about this before everyone went to vote, right? We talked about what was going to happen with net neutrality. We knew this was coming. But I also want to have some perspective. You know, everyone is, the sky is falling every 15 minutes. A new cabinet member gets put in, the sky is falling. A new person is voted in, the sky is falling. And next executive order, the sky is falling. Presidents have been writing executive orders and stuff for years and years and years. But we still have a Congress, we hope, that works. and has been proved in the news today, a judiciary. All right, so, you know, there's lots of stuff going on. And I'll leave my opinions to myself on that. But you guys with my past military history probably know where I stand on that. But anyway, this hype and some of the, let's be frank, overhype is trying to get people riled up. Okay, first thing they say is going to happen with net neutrality. Goodbye, online, good online content. Bye-bye. Okay, cheap online content, bye-bye. Independent online content, bye-bye. Now, if you remember, I've been podcasting since 2004. And net neutrality was a battle that was being fought for many years. And I was able to compete with independent online content. So, let's go on and read the rest of these. Your favorite website, tougher to find. And they think what will happen is you type in Amazon.com and you, instead of going Amazon.com, you'll end at the Home Shopping Network. That is like extreme. They're talking about your speed being throttled and your voice being hushed. Now, okay, so let's back up a little bit. I'm talking about good online content. We know that all of the cable companies, Time Warner, Cox, Comcast, ABC, all these, not ABC, AT&T, all these big internet service providers, what are they doing? They're buying up content companies, right? So, of course, if net neutrality goes away, their stuff is going to be pushed at you a little harder. And it's probably going to be a little better experience. Expect that. Where the challenge will become is when you try to go to YouTube or Netflix, what will happen then is because net neutrality is going to change a lot of stuff, peering agreements are still in place, but Netflix might have to raise prices because they may have to pay to play at an equal level with your Comcast that owns NBC, for say. So Netflix price could go up because they're going to have to pay for that better access, or maybe they're going to be on the slow road. So that's where probably the biggest risk is. So this cheap online content might be impacted. I don't think that your favorite websites are going to be tougher to find or to get to. The second I type in Amazon.com and I get to the Home Shopping Network, will be that'll be a phone, pick up the phone call, and I will be screaming so loud at the internet service provider that it will be heard worldwide, and so will all of you if they try to pull some monkey business like that. So I don't agree with Mashable. I think they're really hyping here. Now, they may promote Home Shopping Network or something that they own a stake in more than they will Amazon, but I don't think they'll ever stop you from going to Amazon. But then again, the next thing is your speed going to be throttled? And this does worries me. So if a media conglomerate decided to stream a major sports event to all its customers, it may prioritize that bandwidth over other streaming content. Don't like the Super Bowl and you want to watch some Netflix, maybe Netflix will be knocked down that day. But again, if it happens, that's when I'm going to be on the phone and I'm going to be screaming bloody murder. Now, without the FCC and net neutrality, rules to stop ISPs from doing bad things is going to be harder. But also, we have wallets and cash, and in some instances, there's more than one carrier choice in your city or wherever you may be. So, will we have bandwidth caps? More than likely, they're going to try to throw the mobile model at us. You know, they're going to want to squeak more money out of us. But again, it'll be up to us. If this goes down, which it probably will, and what it's going to start off initially as, and what's being predicted, is that the FCC just won't enforce the net neutrality rules. So companies are going to start getting away with stuff. So this is where all of us have to be very, very, very vigilant in the very beginning, doing speed tests. If you're a geek, all right, if you're a geek here, you need to be doing speed tests to different locales. You need to be watching how your Netflix looks. You need to look at your YouTube videos. You need to be looking at all the content that you're consuming and seeing if you go to certain websites that's related to the property in which you are hosting with as an internet service provider. If you're starting to see weird stuff, you need to call the provider, number one. Number two, you need to start talking about it very loudly. It could be incrementally changed where they try to dumb us down little over little. Oh, no, it's a little slower. What they could do is make us think that Netflix isn't such a good value because the quality's not as good, or Amazon Prime is not delivering the way it was, and maybe the little wheel sits there and spins 30 seconds longer while we're waiting for video content to queue. So we have to watch this very, very carefully. I mean, starting today. So that's the mandate that I'm putting out to this entire audience. We have to be vigilant. Vigilant. We have to be watching what's going on with our internet connection and what kind of crap these companies are going to try to pull. And then we have to watch the legislation. We have to see what kind of legislation is introduced, whether they try to rewrite some communication rules. We're going to have to watch that. And when it comes to net neutrality, we are going to have to be beating the drum. Now, I think the folks over at TechDirt are onto something. In a statement that was made by Senator Wyden, and of course, he's been a big net neutrality proponent, right? And Ed Markley's another one. So they warn, and I think this is true. We remember SOPA, the backlash that happened from SOPA. We were all of you that have been here for any length of time, we were all talking about SOPA a lot. You know, there was a little bit of even GoDaddy got whacked a little bit on some SOPA stuff until they changed their tune. The net neutrality repeal will make SOPA backlash look like a fireside snuggle. So we have to make sure that our and you know, that means today. Today, pick up the phone. And who do you have to call? Three people. right? You call your two senators from your state and you call your House of Representative rep and you tell them on the phone today who you are, where you live, and you tell them, and you're going to talk to a staffer, you tell them that if they mess with net neutrality, and especially this is more important for those of you that live in a Republican-controlled Senate and House areas, you need to get on the phone and you need to start beating the drum. You just do a Google search. It takes you 5 minutes to find the numbers, 5 minutes to make the calls. All right? And I'm going to keep reminding you as stuff happens that we need to be active. And that doesn't maybe only mean talking to our national reps, talking to the local reps. And if you do a blog or a Facebook page, start talking about some of that stuff, the net neutrality, and putting your local cable provider on notice that you're watching them. We're the consumers. We're the ones that pay them ridiculous amounts of money every month for access to the internet. You can tell I'm concerned here, right? We have a right to be concerned, and we have you want a cause to get behind. If you're listening to this show and you're a geek and you like technology and you like your internet and you like your Snapchat and you like your Spotify and you like your Pandora, you like your Netflix, you like your YouTube, you like all these services, you love your podcast, because technically, if net neutrality's gone, Comcast can call me up and say, "Todd, hey, it looks like you're delivering a lot of podcast media to us. Tell you what, we want to make sure you stay in the fast pipe. In order to do that, you're going to have to write us a check every month." It can come to that. Okay? Now, if you don't think so, I want to hear from you. I want to hear the opposing view. Has anyone got an opposing view on this? Please, please, please educate me on why you think I'm wrong. Now, I'm also understanding here that what Mashable and TechCo, so what has TechCo said? They said monopolization of content. I think that's probably very true. Monopolies. All right. Slow speeds. They're worried again. They're also worried about no voice, about us, our voices being squelched. I think it's going to be very hard to do that. The internet is, you think people protest on, you think people protest on, country bans, or country immigration bans, temporary country immigration bans? You start screwing with people's internet, then you're really going to piss them off. you want to see protests in the street? You start playing some games with people's internet connection, right? So I think while some of these things are doom and gloom, just like everything else that's going on in the world, the sky is falling. I'm not saying the sky is falling, but I'm saying we just need to put on our battle rattle, and we need to be ready to battle rattle and pick up the phones and make the calls. And, this audience alone, if everyone from this audience alone called tomorrow, people would be like, "Whoa, how come we're getting all these calls?" And spread that across 50 states for all of you that listen. We have a huge, huge, huge listening audience in Texas. There's Texas is a big part of this audience. So all of you in Texas, call Ted Cruz. You need to call him tomorrow. You need to call his staff. There's only about 15,000 of you that listen to this show in Texas. All right? So go call Ted tomorrow. If every one of you did it, he'd be like, "Who told these folks to call me on net neutrality?" You can burn his phone lines out tomorrow just from this show. All right? Just let him know you support net neutrality. That's all you got to say. I don't even know who the other Texas senator is. I really don't, to be honest with you. But, we've got audience members everywhere. So get involved, all right? We got to protect this. All right, I've spent a lot of time on it. This is important. All right. You know, I spent a lot of time on this. So maybe did I kill a dead horse or beat a dead horse here too long? But, you know, Time Warner was sued by New York on behalf of League of Legends players and Netflix customers because the Attorney General says Time Warner Cable knew the service was slow and they're seeking damages for consumers. League of Legends, guys, it's all about lag time and all this. If you know, they miss a, you know, they click and it takes more than the normal time to get to back to the server, they lose. So there was a scathing 87-page complaint where the Attorney General there maintains that the internet service providers still engage in fraudulent, they're using the word fraudulent and deceptive practices. The matter is complicated by the fact that Time Warner Cable merged with Charter Communications. Of course, it's now called Spectrum or whatever it's called. They haven't changed it here. It's still Time Warner Cable. But again, pay attention to your speeds. Okay, the best news of the day for you that are gamers, E3. You know what E3 is? E3 has been the most closed gaming conference. It's been closed. You as a individual, non-blogger, non-podcaster, non-reporter, non-media type, non-business owner that wasn't related to selling video games could not get into E3. E3 is opening to the public for the first time ever. Now, pay attention. Pay attention. And if any of you have friends that are like hardcore gamers, you need to give them this date. 15,000 tickets for E3 will go on sale this coming Monday, February 13th. They're going to be gone. These tickets are going to sell out fast. All right? You need to have your trigger ready to buy this ticket this coming Monday. It's going to be $250 as part of or $150 as part of an early bird discount available. Tickets provide access to the show. The show floor, panel discussions, huge, and other events from Tuesday through Thursday of E3 week. The ESA will partner with a game media veteran, GF Kigley, and I don't know who the heck this guy is, to provide attendees with special access to special benefits associated with his own E3 programming, such as developer interviews and more. So, for years now, there have been calls for E3 to open to the public. I know I've had Langley. You guys remember Langley? And he's actually starting up Robot Underpants again. You'll see him make a new, his show's going to be restarting and he'll be in the banner soon. For years now, tried to get Langley into E3 and we couldn't get him in. Couldn't get him a press pass to get in. They were that tight. So this is going to be huge for any of you that are gamers that want to go to E3, okay? Some of you are having a stroke, I know, because it's a big deal. It really, really is. But we did have a good one today. This is good. The Virginia Broadband Deployment Act that would have made it far more difficult for municipalities to offer internet services has been dramatically watered down after running into heavy opposition. Instead of preventing cities and towns from offering broadband, a new version of the bill passed by the Virginia House this week merely imposes new record-keeping requirements. The original bill favored the heavy, you know, the cable lobbyists that were dumping, you know, tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars of cash into people's campaigns. The bill was called the Broadband Death Star by one opponent. And again, it would have prevented municipal broadband deployments except in very limited circumstances. So this is huge. Now, the governor last month promised to veto the bill if it was passed by the state legislature. And it did draw opposition from local governments. So this is a major win. This is a major win. And I hope we see more of this because I'm a big, big proponent. You guys all know I'm a big proponent of muni broadband. I think it's a way to get high-speed internet into cities that just haven't been serviced by the big cable providers. So I'm just ecstatic that this has went through, and I wish we'd see more of this going through the rest of the country, especially in Kentucky and, you know, in states where there's been so much opposition to it. We're going to talk a little, switching topics, obviously, here. We talked about this a little bit already, but the new 2017 iPhones, it's being pretty much confirmed at this point, is going to support wireless charging. Finally. It's taken them long enough, right? Okay. Also, are you an art lover? So this is kind of exciting. I don't profess to be an art expert at all. I like looking at beautiful paintings. And I go to the galleries here in Waikiki, which is mostly ocean type stuff. It's not a lot of contemporary art and that type of stuff. And I don't even know if I was shown a contemporary piece of art, I would be able to define it. But most people know what the Met is. It's the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And many of you, you know, if you're watching the show, you've seen probably this painting before. You know, there's some Van Goghs, you name it. But they have released an image library that is in the public domain. 375,000 public domain artwork images are now available for free, unrestricted use. The new open access policy based on the Creative Commons Zero means that bloggers, schools, and businesses alike can use them without even the need for attribution. So in 2014, the Met opened up 400,000 images for downloading, but only for scholarly, non-commercial use. Now, however, it wants them spread far and wide. It's unveiled a partnership with Pinterest, Wikimedia, Digital Public Library of America, and others. Increasing access to the museum's collection and scholarship serves the interests and needs of our 21st century audience, said Met CEO Thomas P. Campbell in a statement. This is awesome. So many people, and so many kids, never get to go to an art museum. You know, I've been lucky enough that my mom, when I was a kid, took us into Chicago. Matter of fact, in 1976, I went to see the Tutankhamun exhibition in Chicago. It had profound impact on me, and tells you how old I am. I was only 12 at the time, and so I was able to travel to Washington D.C. and go to the museums there, and so I've been traveling all over the world and been able to go to art museums here in Hawaii and Japan and Singapore and a variety of different places. And, you know, walk through, get a feel, and again, I like to look at art. I'm not like a professional. But so many kids today do not really get exposure to a lot of art. So with these 375,000 public domain artwork images now available for free, kids are going to be able to have more access to see this stuff. Now, are they going to want to look at it? Probably not. But maybe as a parent, you can go through some of this and sit them down and, you know, get some exposure. And if you don't have the financial withdrawal to go to a big city, to go to a big art museum. So I think this is awesome. I think this is very, 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 very cool that they've made these available in anyone. I can pull one of these images now and use it on my blog. Now, I don't know how, you know, effective that would be for keeping readership. But if I had an art blog, you know, could write articles and my opinions and stuff. So this is huge, 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 huge. All right. Get off art and go to space. How about that? little bit of a change up here. SpaceX is targeting February 18th for a first launch from the historic NASA pad. And it's actually the Apollo 11 pad. This will be its 10th cargo mission to the International Space Station. Hopefully they don't blow one up this time. But again, they're going to go on February 18th. They're going to take up about 5,500 pounds of food, water, and gas, and whatever else they need to take, and taking up some experiments from some schools as well. So, yeah, they're ready to rock and roll at the Cape on on the Apollo 11 rework pad, and they're ready to go. Also, there's a very, very cool video, and I think I can show this without getting the video flagged. So what I'm going to do is we'll see. Maybe I'll get a copyright notice on this as well. But let me load this page. And what we have is this was an Aegis cruiser, and they were launching what's called a Standard Missile 3, SM-3. It was used to intercept a medium-range ballistic target on February 3rd. Let's see if this is going to load. Is this video going to load here for me? I don't know if it will, but it shows the launch, which is always kind of cool to see a missile coming out of a boat. it's just sitting here spinning. Okay, am I supposed to click play? Maybe that will help. All right, so this is a pretty short video, and because it's got some slow motion stuff going on, but they've got an off-range shot too. But they show this interceptor missile going up and basically colliding with the ballistic target. So pretty awesome that they were able to do that. And, you know, here's what's important about this, and many of you probably don't care, but we have Aegis cruisers in Japan, here in Hawaii. They're a backbone of much of the military fleet. And if a rogue North Korea decides that they're going to try to play something stupid and they're going to try to launch, and if maybe not even directly at Hawaii or Japan, we've got the ability, as demonstrated here, to intercept something from North Korea if they decide to be stupid and try to launch something against us. Now, I don't think they would ever do that. They do a lot of bolstering. But the simple fact that they can is, there's logistics too. I think they probably have to know where, be in a certain area and all this stuff. But I just think this is cool. And for those of you who live here in the United States, your taxpayer dollars at work. there's a good article about a star 170 light years away, a white dwarf star specifically that just ripped a comet to shreds. It was a comet that was about 1,000 times bigger. No, 100,000 times more massive than Halley's Comet. But it came close enough to this white dwarf that just shredded it. And there was debris throughout this. It's just amazing, the story on this, that the scientists could actually see this. But the massive amount of water that was able to be detected, and sulfur and nitrogen, and they were really astounded by this. But it was, big enough of an event, 170 light years away, that they were able to collect science on it. So very, very cool. Also, and I got to tell Andy Brown, I knew you caught I saw your video from your phone. I'm glad you're safe down in New Orleans with the tornado that rolled through there yesterday. And I know that some damage was done at the NASA McCloud Assembly Facility. And I don't know if anybody lost their life or not, but a pretty nasty ripping tornado. Looked like you were... you had a pretty good view of this thing. So if you send me an email, let me know how far off were you from it. But thanks for the video on your Facebook page. All right, moving on here to a little more tech stuff. A newly discovered flaw in HTTPS connections are causing some sites to basically potentially be compromised. So if any of you are out there are basically IT guys, if you are using a firewall called the F5 Big IP, please be aware that the F5 code has got some trouble, and your site may be affected. But again, it's a very small number of sites, and you'd almost have to have a if you know what I'm talking about, if you're one of the, you know, one person on this show that says, oh, I'm running some of that hardware, you're affected. Otherwise, don't worry. How many of you put a screen protector on your iPhone? You know, I'm using one right now that gets a lot of attention by people because it's gold on the bottom and top. So people are like, what kind of phone is that? And I'm like, it's an iPhone. And they look at it until they finally figure out it's just a screen protector. So if any of you, you know, put a screen protector on a phone before, you know, it's going to be tricky to get it lined up. And you know, if you get a little crooked, it's just a pain. Well, leave it to the Japanese. They've created a robot that, you know, puts screen protectors on. You just set the phone down in a little case and tell the machine to go, and it does the deal. It takes care of putting the screen protector on. No bubbles. Absolutely perfect install. So what this is it was a demo for a potential kiosk. So you put your phone into the kiosk, gets set up, gets down. They put the screen protector on. The machine does it, gives you your phone back. So pretty smart stuff. And this is done by the Kawasaki Corporation. So good on them. And imagine, I've been at trade shows where all they do is put screen protectors on people's phones for 4 days. It's crazy. Have you ever wondered how much money is being spent on cloud services? Snapchat, in part of their filings with the SEC and getting ready for their initial public offering, Snap has a $1 billion cloud service deal with Amazon, in addition to the money that they already are paying Google. Google hosts the majority of Snapchat's infrastructure in the cloud, but they also have a $1 billion deal with Amazon to use its cloud computing services over the next 5 years. Right now, they're spending about $50 million, and that'll ramp up to $350 million a year in 2021. Wow. One company. That's how much they're, you know, if you have a Snapchat account, and I do, and I don't use it, I follow some people's stories, my daughter's primarily, and some friends, that's it. But they're spending that kind of money for the infrastructure to run everyone's ability to smile, do a little selfie, and, you know, flip the hair, and, you know, whatever. It's weird. It's so, oh my God. It's just like, oh, I love myself. But anyway, that kind of money to support the infrastructure, even I, you know, I know what I pay Amazon every month at Raw Voice for our, you know, running our infrastructure, blueberry.com and everything that we have running. You know, that's a, you know, that whacks the old credit card, and I have to call Barry and say, you need to make a payment on the credit card. The Amazon bill just came in. You know, and I mean, it's like, it, you know, drops. We know it's coming and we know how much it's going to be, but you know, it even surprises me. So it's a lot of money to keep this infrastructure up. Even this show, you know, this show is about around $250 a month to keep the infrastructure online, to keep the show online. Matter of fact, we've got to go to a bigger server. It's way overdue. The back end of geeknewscentral.com has become sluggish. It's because we're just that much traffic's come in. I need to, and we're already using a service in front of the service to help with caching and all that stuff. But it's time. We got to go to a bigger box. You know, when you grow traffic, you have to grow hardware. So my bill's going to go up. So just to keep the server lights on, you know, for this show is, you know, $2,500 to $3,000 a year, just for the, you know, the base server stuff. And it'll probably go up to, you know, when we jump to the next server, $4,000 or $5,000, you know, a year. So when, you know, I'm talking about the sponsor here, It's important that you guys go out there and, you know, help me out. And the insiders, oh my God, I love you guys. Everyone that's supporting the show monthly with, you know, I saw $225 insider payments come in today. You know, so the insiders are, you know, I love you guys. And it doesn't matter if you're giving two or 25 or doing a one-time donation a year. It's all great. But doing this thing costs real money. I'm going to say it again. And for you Mac users, you think Macs don't get viruses? Well, using Word on a Mac with no antivirus software. And did you know that very easily you can get some malware in your Mac by opening up a Word document? Beware of that. There's some nasty stuff out there and it will own your machine. It will be calling home to Russia and sharing everything you do, your bank information, what you're typing, your email. And it'll be snapshotting machine, sending your pictures back of you and your wife and your kids and everything else. So, you don't trust me? I got an article for you to read, all right? Comcast lied. Imagine that. And now it must, and I won't read the title of the headline, it must be quiet. Its cable broadband is not the fastest in the United States. According to this article, Line Comcast will no longer be able to advertise its cable internet service because the ads watchdog at the U.S. National Advertising Review Board said that it cannot tell Americans that its cable and Wi-Fi internet service are the fastest speeds available without quantifying that. You have to say, we have speeds up to 300 megabits or 300 gigabits or 1 terabyte or whatever the speed may or may not be. You have to quote it. You can't just say, we've got the fastest speeds available. I can't use that. Verizon filed the complaint. Accused its rival of lying in advertisement that billed Comcast Xfinity Internet as the fastest internet in America and the fastest in-home Wi-Fi. So, Comcast could say it has highest internet speeds for some users, but that doesn't hold across all of America. As we all know, service levels are different every single place. All right, on the last couple of shows, I've been talking to you about two examples already about how the media has turned on Elon Musk. All right? So today, I'll let you guys choose hit piece or news because Gizmodo has another piece. Now, remember, Elon Musk is still on the presidential council. He hasn't walked away and said, we're not participating. He's still participating. So he has become a man with a big target on his chest, Elon Musk has. So Gizmodo, who has had nothing but platitudes to say of Tesla for years, all of a sudden is saying that Elon Musk is responding to claims of low pay, injuries, and anti-union policies at their Tesla plant. And talking about how pay is at a certain rate and how many injuries they've had and how they've tried to suppress unionization, all this stuff. Is this a hit piece against Elon Musk? Or is it fair tech news? Don't ever remember seeing anything about Elon Musk being negative. He's the darling of the tech community. Could do no wrong. And this is three hit pieces within about 3 weeks, all coming from Gizmodo. Conspiracy? What do you think? Moving on here. And I don't know about this guy, but ousted Hyperloop One founder Brogan Bam Brogan, what a name, Brogan Bam Brogan, sounds like a wrestler, right? Just started a new company called Arrival. And they are going to compete with Hyperloop and start doing some commercial work right away. Wish them luck. So that's what happens. You get rid of somebody in a company, and if he's a genius on a particular product line, he goes and starts his own company and competes against you. Now, I'm sure he doesn't have as much cash as Elon Musk does, but anyway, this is someone that was let go that is now competing, and I'm sure we're going to hear more about him. I don't have a lot of information on this guy. Google's done something interesting. They've merged YouTube and Google Play together. The YouTube and Play Music teams are working together. So does that mean YouTube Video and Play Music are together? Does that mean YouTube Music and Play Music are together? It just seems like a little weird mesh. But apparently these have always been two ships under separate leadership, and they've needed a single rudder, so they're being brought together. It is YouTube Music and Google Music, Google Play Music, Google Play Podcast. Who's that going to be brought under? But we'll see what happens here. But those two teams are going to try to have some synergy in the product. All right, it's been a while since we talked about Google Fiber. We thought Google Fiber was being put on the shelf. You know, Alphabet had kind of made them cut some people. They slowed rollouts. But Google Fiber 2.0 targets the city where it will stand its comeback as AT&T Fiber prepares to go nuclear. While Google Fiber is still reeling from its big pivot, there are signs. New city section of Google Fiber website quietly moved Louisville, Kentucky from its list of potential cities to upcoming cities, joining San Antonio, Texas, and Huntsville, Alabama. That's interesting. While eight other potential cities have been paused as Google Fiber finds its feet. And what they're going to do is they're going to get to the last mile, and then they're going to switch cat. They're not going to bring fiber to your home. They're going to bring in high-speed, very point-to-point wireless that will be able to maintain the speeds that they want, but they have to be within a mile or half mile or a direct line of sight of a home to be able to point the two antennas at each other to be able to get the throughput that you're going to be able to need to support a 1 gig internet connection. But AT&T, I'm telling you, if you live in Louisville, this is the time to call AT&T, say, hey, I want some fiber at my house, because they're going to be battling. And I'm not an AT&T fan, but when it comes to high speed, holy cow, and I don't know what AT&T is charging for it, but they are supposedly gone crazy in Louisville and trying to outmaneuver Google Fiber and getting stuff deployed. So, you know, you're in a good situation if you live in Louisville, Kentucky right now. Google Fiber, come to Makakilo in Honolulu, Hawaii. Oh, man, what I wouldn't give. All right, Republicans are reportedly using a self-destructing message app to avoid leaks. And I heard it's not only the Republicans, it's the Democrats too. Apparently, Republicans are using the encrypted self-destructing message app Confide to help keep conversations private in the wake of hacks and leaks. Now, here's the danger. If these aren't RNC people that are if they're elected officials and they're messaging, all that stuff is subject to the Records Act. And that's supposed to be stored, and you're not supposed to be deleting stuff. So if you're an elected official, this app is probably illegal to be used. But if you're RNC, a non-elected official, I can understand. After the DNC guy act, I can understand why they want to use a messaging app that causes these messages to self-destruct. So again, the White House business is subject to preservation rules, and we'll see what happens. Because I think the last thing we need is anyone losing emails again, having emails wiped from anything or messages or any official business that's happening. But there's more story about what's going on in the White House on the IT side as well. I'll talk about that here in a few minutes. Hey, Google Assistant on Pixel can now control your smart home devices. If you have a Belkin, Wemo, Nest, Philips, Hue, and Samsung SmartThings. If you have a Pixel, you can now control them with that. Also, Dodge is providing a lot of cars to police departments. So the Dodge Charger Pursuit police car has got a new feature. So when the police officer's parked, the rear backup sensors switch into a monitoring sensor. So if anyone walks into the beam, it beeps the officer that's in the vehicle, rolls the window up, and locks the doors. So what they're trying to prevent is ambushes on police officers. So this is being rolled out on any Dodge Charger that's going to any police department. So that's kind of cool. Also, if you buy Beats X, Apple's newest pair of $149 wireless earbuds, you're going to get 3 months of Apple Music with the wireless Beats product. My son, a little stinker, I had to go to him the other day and hold out my hand, and he's like, "What?" I said, "You signed up for YouTube Red, and you signed up for Apple Music. Hand over the cash, dude." He's like, "What do you mean?" I said, "I didn't authorize you to turn on YouTube Red and Apple Music. We've already got Pandora. Why do you need Apple Music? Give me the $25, please." He was not happy. But I got my cash. I said, "You're good for the next month, and then I'll be back for another payment." So we'll see if he cancels it. It's better than going out and getting illegal music, but he has to follow what I have, not, yeah. And actually, I should have invoked the 3 times rule, charging 3 times what it costs for not asking me. Okay, there's been a cybersecurity staff shakeup at the White House. Nearly all the IT support people that were appointed underneath President Obama had already left, but Corey Louie was appointed to the position of former President Obama's in 2015, charged with keeping safe the staff closest to the president, including the president himself, from cyber threats. He was escorted from the building on Thursday. So they're cleaning the house over there a little more. Who's got the cybersecurity job? No one's saying. You know, if you look at the Federal Register and you look at USA Jobs, you might find some job listings. So if you're an IT guy out of work and you're a conservative, this is a great opportunity, especially if you live in the Washington, D.C. area. You can go to work for the White House and keep President Bush's communication secure and have a lot of fun with that. Oh, my gosh. All right, Microsoft lawsuit versus secret government searches moves ahead. So this is good. A judge refused the U.S. government's request to throw out a lawsuit from Microsoft claiming a federal law is unconstitutional because it prohibits technology companies from telling customers when the government demands their electronic data. I think a Ninth Circuit court judge is allowing the, is allowing the lawsuit to proceed. Also, one of the world's largest ISPs is going to war with pirate sites, and you guys probably have never heard of these folks, Cogent Communications. And basically what they are is they are like the guys that have all the fiber and all, and basically provide the underpinning for many internet service providers worldwide, or at least largely here in the United States. But they've been blocking a lot of file sharing sites, including the Pirate Bay, PrimeWire, Movie 4K, Torrent Project, Couch Tuner, Cairo.se, Watch Series Free, Megashare, HD Movies Watch, Torrent, Butler.eu, Afada, Movie.2, MP3 Monkey, RNB Exclusive.me, a Torrent CD, Movie Sub, IP Torrents, PutLocker, and Torrents.cd. All those sites were using Cloudflare. We use Cloudflare here. To prevent against denial of service attacks and also some caching. And all of those torrent sites have been locked out. So if you're having trouble getting torrents or getting to any of those sites, it's not your ISP, it's the service provider below it. Sonos, big fan of Sonos. They're rolling out Alexa integration. So very, very, very cool stuff here. We'll keep you informed on that. A North Carolina wind farm has went live despite some legislature's claims it's a national security threat. I don't know how that's possible. The first utility scale wind farm in North Carolina is now fully operational. And Avangrid Renewables, they announced a wind farm supporting 104 turbines and that are 50 stories tall, are now generating 670 megawatt hours, enough electricity for 61,000 homes. The wind farm is located in the northern part of the state and was built out across farmlands. So what you'll start to see is the farmlands will come start in back encroaching into the areas where just around the base. They won't be able to completely recover the farmland, but most of it will. So very, very, very cool. Amazon is buying electricity from the new wind farm to power its Virginia data centers. And the North Carolina facility is one of three new wind and solar projects Amazon announced as part of its AWS sustainability project. Very, very cool. So smart. All right, link will be out in the show notes on that. How was the wind? How can wind windmills be a national security threat? There's a statement on CNET that watching a specific YouTube channel will make you smarter every day. And there's not very many YouTube channels that can claim that. But there's a video series, educational video series called Smarter Every Day, hosted by Dustin Sandlin, a rocket engineer turned YouTube personality. And I guess he's got a lot of cool topics. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. Did you guys know that the French had a nuclear plant fire? The France Flamanville plant, oh my gosh, that's funny. They had a fire, but it's called Flamanville plant, now due for a new reactor in 2018, just as fire starts in a turbine room. So this was an explosion that happened there. So more trouble within the nuclear industry. I'm a big fan of nuclear power, even though what's going on in Fukushima should scare the living H-E-double-L out of all of us. A little bit of news in the employment front. Zenefits is laying off almost half its employees. 430 employees will lose their jobs in the single largest round of cuts, showing how the embattled startup fell far short of its lofty expectations. So 45% of its San Francisco task now have pink slips. Twitter stock, oh my gosh, is tanking. I guess even the president's tweeting is not helping Twitter, but Twitter stock is tanking after the company warned its revenue growth would continue to lag its recent spike. It's even continue to lag, and even though it's a recent spike in users, they reported $717 million versus estimates of $740 million, and their stock just got hammered. Twitter's monthly active users grew to 319 million, up from 317 million prior quarter. Daily active users grew 11% year on year. And what was the actual profit on? So they had earnings of 16 cents. Well, at least they're still making money. All right, last couple of articles here before we bounce out tonight. How many of you are familiar with Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie? Now, I always thought George is a great guy, but Art Bell, if Art Bell was still on the air, it would probably be the only radio program that I would still listen to. Probably I would get it by podcast. You can get Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie by podcast as well. But George is, you know, if I could do a dedicated show on supernatural and weird stuff, I would love to do that show daily. But it just takes so long to build up the contacts and the people and the weirdos that have to call into the show. But this show is a classic. But if you live in Northridge, California, or close to it, on May 6th, George Norrie is going to be live. I think it'd be a great event to go to. So there's going to be Dr. Bruce Goldberg. That guy's off the chart. Daniel Brinkley, another one. These are all weird dudes. Whitley Strieber, fascinating to listen to, but boy, they live in an alternate reality. And they're all going to be, it'd be fascinating. So George Norrie Live, Saturday, May 6th, coasttocoastam.com. You can find out information about that. If I was in California, I'd go. And also, the long-awaited book from Blink-182's co-founder Tom DeLonge about his investigation into UFOs is already making news prior to its release. And the eagerly anticipated work co-authored with acclaimed researcher Pete Lavenda is titled Secret Machine Gods and will be available on March 7th. So I'll definitely be buying that one. Again, some weirdo UFO stuff. Very, very cool. All right, that's all I have for the show tonight. Let me double check and make sure that there was no email that came in, because I don't think there was. And if I did, a lot of you are messaging me on Facebook. Oh, Greg sent me an email. And Greg, I screwed up if I said it the way I said it. He says, hey, Todd, in today's podcast, you mentioned the executive order banning seven countries. I'm confused as to why the press is... Oh, maybe I didn't. I'm confused as to why the press is calling a Muslim ban. As you said, the countries banned are, and I went through them, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Libya, Sudan, Yemen, and Somalia. If this was actually a religion-based order, why is it that only one of those seven countries is on the list of top 10? Okay, so it seems that half the... So here's... Oh, I didn't actually say it was a Muslim ban. So I was wrong, Greg. I thought I read this. So here's why. It's the news. Come on. It's about how it's got to be presented. It's got to be hyped up. That's why they're calling it a Muslim ban. Of course, there's no ban right now because the ban has been, the courts have got it turned off right now. So, he said, I've also heard the press talking about this executive order being unconstitutional. I can understand how it might be unconstitutional for exceeding authority, but that's not the argument they're making. They're arguing it's unconstitutional because of religious discrimination. I'm going to reveal my ignorance here, but I thought our Constitution protects Americans, not foreigners. It's all politics right now, Greg. We've been, and if you are, depends on which side of the scale you're on. If you're a Republican, you are more than likely probably in the majority in approval of the ban. If you're a Democrat, you don't want it, and you want our borders to be open. The last thing I'm going to say about this is, but we as a country better pray that nothing happens. And I'm not saying this as a scare tactic, but if something happens, henceforth, and it was proven that someone came to this country when all this BS was going on, which probably the odds are very small that that will happen. And if something happens and Americans lose their lives, it's going to be, you thought it was ugly then? Oh my God. It's going to get crazy. Now let's just hope none of that happens. But I'm just telling you, I told you guys from my experience being over in some of these countries, there's not very many people coming out of those countries that like Americans. Not very many at all. But, let's take that back. There's a percentage that don't. And those that don't. And usually those that are friendly and nice and they have families and the kids go to school, those are not the folks we have to worry about. It's a small group of ones that are really, really, really bad. And, we'll leave it to the politicians to debate it out. But the press is doing this because that's what the press does. All right? And everyone's emotions, the sky is falling, history shows that nothing was said when President Obama did that. I don't want to turn this into a political show, but it is interesting to see how things work depending on, which party you belong to. But anyway, all right, that's going to wrap me up. Geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, and send your comments. And I'll try to dissect the best I can and provide my analysis without getting half the audience pissed off and leaving. So we're just having a discussion. All right, everyone have fun. Stay away from Facebook. Stay away from the news. Have a cocktail this weekend. Listen to some music. Put some jazz on. And for those of you that are gamers, E3 tickets on Monday, all right? And don't forget, Valentine's Day is coming up, fellas. Make sure you get out there and get your Valentine's card, because if you haven't got it already, you're screwed, because most of them are gone. You're going to end up with the junk cards, and candy and some jewelry, or some jewelry and some, you know, who knows what. Go out there and get that and get it ready for your honey for Valentine's Day. And I have to do the same. So, all right, everyone, take care. We'll see you here back on Monday for another edition of the Geek News Center podcast. As a reminder for my schedule, everything is good all next week. I will be even with you on the 20th. So the next three shows are, we're rocking here, but I fly out on the night of the 21st. I go to Tampa on the 22nd, spend the evening and most of the next day with my daughter. Then the 23rd, I'm in Orlando, and then I am back in Hawaii on the 28th. So I'll work on getting a guest podcaster to come in and do the show, a couple of the shows. Not promising, we'll try. But probably will be, if I don't find a guest podcaster, probably the show on the 24th and the 28th will be, or 24th and 27th, or actually 23rd and 27th will not be done. But I'll try to get a guest to come in and do the podcast. Everyone, thanks for being here. And we'll see you on Monday. Everyone, take care. Aloha.